So we're at the live room again, and extremely special this evening. We've got Catherine Finch and Sekou Keita, and fresh from the winning the Best Duo Awards and the Musician Award at the Radio 2 Folk Awards.
Yeah.
So that must be.
So we've recovered from our hangover as well. I have recovered from mine. No, we had a great time. It was a good night.
Yeah. So do you know that you've won it before the show?
No, you don't know. No, you only know that you're nominated. So
they never tell you. You just get the surprise.
Yeah.
So the shock to go on stage and speak is hard.
So do you think that'll make a big difference? Does it?
I don't know. It's just nice to get some recognition, I suppose, and it's nice, you know, to get obviously awards. They help, and they, I think being live on Radio 2 is a big thing. And you know, if there's a chance that a few new people have come on board, and you've reached out to a few new people, then. Then that's the job done really with that.
It's kind of extending the audience name. But also it's a great feeling. It's like a big brother watching for the past years. We've been working together, and suddenly it's like, here you go, it's your notice. So it's a great recognition.
You've been very busy already, both individually and in your work together. Have you got space to pack in lots more, you know, if the invitations do start really pouring in even more?
There's lots of space, but it's saying that it is pretty busy, you know. And so we play together as a duo, but we both do different things as well and are involved with other projects. So so sometimes balancing diaries and family life and home life and everything else is the main problem for us, really. And obviously what we do involves a lot of travelling. And if it was only ever turning up and doing the concert, that would be very easy. But a lot of the time, the problem is getting there, and you know, and that takes sometimes days. And that's where the time goes, really.
And your instruments, I mean, they must they take a lot of care, I imagine. The harp, because it's a big one.
Yeah. Also, the harp. I mean, the harp travels around with us in the UK, but never goes abroad. So when we're going abroad, we always have to try and source a harp wherever we're going. But the chorus come everywhere with us.
They do, yeah. It took years of planning to get them like special case, you know, fly case made to be able to, you know, to take it over, because they're very, very fragile. And of course, you can't find any chorus wherever you go. So I have to travel on my own. But you know, great thing, always have a plan to travel the day before if it's a long flight and stuff like that, just for safety. So far, so good.
So they've survived the baggage handlers and things like that. So quite an interesting story about the chorus. I look at instruments like that, you know, and you think, how did anybody think of doing that? You know, so harp in a way as, you know, string and that, but you know, the let's chop this calabash in half and see how we go from there.
It's strange. It's like it's really hard to describe how, as you say, how someone come up with that idea. I think basically because it did back in generation back in days, people seem to find whatever is left, whatever around to put things together. So the calabash being like a fruit, but they don't eat, but they use it for, you know, storing food, fruit, you know, calabash like drum water, you know, they play with it. It has a drumming as well. So it become like almost like a resonance, a box where a sound can go through. And of course wood, and then before strings there was like guts and animal skin and stuff like that. So it's an amazing, and did back in the 13th century, and it's hard to go back to how they come in, but I think it's like, you know, as we go naturally, things develop, people pick up things and make things out of whatever is around. So could have been a spiritual instrument as well, back on those days.
And the other thing that's, you know, quite, you know, coincidence, I suppose, in some ways, the osprey and their migrations Wales to Senegal.
Yeah, so right. This was a discovery we made. We were working on a second album. Mm. And when you work on a new set of pieces and new works, it's nice to think of a theme. Mm. It's nice to have inspiration or a story that you can base your ideas on and that you can use as a catalyst, I suppose, for ideas. So we discovered that we read about the osprey, which actually flies from very near where I grew up. There's a nest at the Dovey Osprey Centre, west coast of Wales, to Senegal, where Sekou grew up. So obviously this was, a big, a nice idea for us. And that whole idea of open borders, of migration, of immigration, of movement of people. And, there's a lot of things that you can get out of that journey that this bird makes. And compare it to human life and where we have problems, I suppose. And so that was, it was inspiration to us, wasn't it?
It was, indeed. And it's kind of represented, in a way, what we do together as a duo, because very liberal and open-minded musicians that work together from different culture, man and woman, black and white, Wales and Senegal.
Yeah.
Suddenly in one stage producing something that, it's come from our heart, going to other hearts. So it's irrelevant, the freedom of it, those birds that travel without any queuing, passport, visas, or whatever, they just live their life. So it reflects our work, really.
There is a sort of magic that surprises sometimes, even when we are very rational and getting on with daily life, because... We enjoy coming to the live room and meeting people. We've been looking forward to tonight because it was clear from the moment the poster went up in the foyer here that this was going to be very special. But we've been even more surprised because over our fireplace is a painting by a Yorkshire painter, which is called Osprey Rising.
Osprey is
part of our life every day.
Yeah.
When I was reading your bio, Catherine, I saw that you were taught by Eleanor Bennett.
Yeah.
Eleanor Bennett was the first harpist that really... brought the harp into my life when I heard her in a concert in Lincolnshire. I still have the cassette. Kind of worn out. So that really touched me.
Yeah.
And my brother lived for 2 years in Senegal. In the Peace Corps, long ago. And so it's a country which I've never visited, but which I feel a connection. He died quite some years ago, so meeting you is, another brother maybe. I'd like to think he would have heard Cora being played. He was a guitarist and loved music.
That's amazing.
So the way you've come together sounds absolutely fantastic. But what about those two instruments coming together? Because I gather when you met, you had already had a Cora player working together. Who discovered that these two instruments go together?
They were put together because of the cultures and because of the significance of the instrument to our retrospective countries. So in Wales we have this bardic tradition, and the Wales is and the harp is obviously seen as a national instrument, and it sort of lies in the history and the depth of our musical heritage, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's used always as accompaniment to song. And in Senegal, it's the same with the kora, the griot.
Yeah.
It's essentially the same as the bard. It's the person who brings the news, and who gives the news, and who, and the harp and the kora are the same. They are both harps, essentially.
Yes.
The kora is an African harp, and so it's the same instrument. And it's interesting, I guess, how they've developed very differently in different cultures and in different parts of the world. But essentially, we were brought together because of the where they came from, and what they mean to our cultures, I suppose. So
that then adds another layer when you bring that combination to an audience, because you were both in bardic tradition. You have some kind of truth to share or something to call out from the audience.
Exactly.
I mean, that certainly would speak to us in these very difficult times. Speaking tonight on the eve of an incredibly difficult day in Britain's life. So we turn to you for help, for hope in hopeless situations.
Fingers crossed. I mean, it's like Kat said, it's those, instrument harp, kora, and the both halves, they one of those instruments that participate a lot in the healing process. You know, not just for the listeners, but also even for the players. You know, we go through to a channel, feel like we are all channeled to deliver, and then sharing that is a beautiful thing. And you can't miss people are watching or listening. They kind of connect into it easily because it talks to you, you know, somehow. So fingers crossed.
I hope it'll be a good night for you.
Well,
yeah,
yes.
We're looking forward.
Yeah. And we've certainly got a full house.
Okay.
And
great.
I met somebody last night who'd heard you, but he couldn't get here tonight, so he just told us how good it was.
Oh.
So you're winning already.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having us.
Okay, thank you.
We'll see you in a bit.
All the best. Yeah.
All right,
see you in a bit. Thank you.